Good evening. I appreciate the opportunity and very excited to have the opportunity to come before you all this evening and to present a lesson from God's Word. And the topic that I'm going to be talking about tonight is it's a difficult topic. In fact, it was mentioned for a little bit this morning in the lesson that Brother Dwayne gave. Okay. There we go. Wait. Hold it down.
Here we go. Thank you.
And the topic we're going to be talking about is it's a difficult topic. It's a topic that for many of us is considered to be pretty controversial. It causes quite a bit of friction between a lot of Christians. It's very commonly disagreed upon. And the topic is modesty. And it's a topic that I'll be very surprised if everybody in the congregation here agrees with me on and what I'm about to say about it. With that being said, I'm going to try to the utmost of my ability to stick with the scriptures. I don't want you to walk away thinking this is what Paul thinks about this topic, about how we should clothe ourselves. I really want everyone here to walk away with some further knowledge of what the Bible says about this topic. And that will ultimately help us as we try to figure out more about this difficult topic. And so the first passage that we're going to look at today will be in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And really, when we have such a difficult topic like this and it causes so much friction, one of the questions we need to ask ourselves is this something that God cares about? Is this something that is really that important? Or is this something that maybe just a few, super conservative people over here are very strict about and they don't like how certain other people dress and vice versa, and then we get into all these big issues. But is this something that God really does care about? So this is going to be the first question that we're going to address here. We're going to look at two passages in the New Testament in which God addresses specifically how we clothe ourselves. And the first one will be in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And this scripture is already read for us, but we'll just read over it again, just a couple verses, and then we'll make some very quick conclusions about what modesty is and how it comes about. 1 Timothy 2, verses 8. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly clothing, but that which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. And so just to quickly define some of the words that we encounter here, especially in verse 9, the word modest means to be well arranged, to be seemly, and not out of place, and to be appropriate. But then also, there are two different words that are given how this modesty needs to come about. There are two words, propriety and moderation. Our different translations might have different words there. But to briefly define those, propriety or shamefacedness, as the King James Version uses, it means a sense of honor, bashfulness, reverence, and regard for others. And then moderation or sobriety is soundness of mind and self-control. Really, this idea of modesty, it's really the idea that really means not to draw undue or inappropriate attention to ourselves. And certainly with this topic of modesty, I appreciate what Brother Dwayne said this morning, where he talked about how we need to consider each other, we need to make sure that we're not a stumbling block for our brother or our sister or anybody else. And I appreciate that because that was because as I was trying to figure out how to talk about this topic, it seemed like I couldn't cram everything into one lesson. So that's a lot that I won't need to talk about. We'll reference it still, but we won't spend as much time talking specifically how this relates as far as being a stumbling block to others. But this and how we dress is really key in how we profess godliness, as is talked about in verse 10. And the second passage we'll look at will be in 1 Peter. It'll be 1 Peter chapter 3. And here's where we're really going to see how the way we dress really influences others. We're going to look at a specific example in which this can happen. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 through 7. It says, "Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives." And I'll stop here real quick. How does this happen? How does this situation where somebody can be converted by someone without even saying anything? Well, we're about to be told. "When they observe your chaste or clean or pure conduct accompanied by fear." Verse 3, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned or clothed themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." So this phrase, putting on apparel, and how we adorn ourselves, speaks specifically about how we clothe ourselves. And in verse 5, "For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted God," these are key, to be holy and to trust in God, it will be reflected by what we wear. So modesty begins in the spirit, and it manifests itself into every aspect of appearance and conduct. Now, this isn't just for women. In verse 1, women were to set this example for men. This example was to be set so it could be emulated and to be implemented by the men as well. And we're going to be talking a lot about that. That this topic of modesty, this isn't something that just applies to women. There are some passages, yes, that do specifically talk to women. But this is something that is just as important for men to be concerned about as well. And perhaps, probably, the greatest point about modesty, or one of the coolest ways to think about modesty, is it's an incredible teaching tool. That the way we can clothe ourselves and how we behave outwardly, even without saying anything, has the power that we can bring somebody who is unbelieving, we can bring them to God. And so really, it carries with it the idea of presenting ourselves holy. Just real quick, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God." So we need to present ourselves as holy. And we need to do this in a way that is radically different than the rest of this world. I want us to think for a little bit about maybe what are some things that influence how we dress. Certainly one reason would, and we see it much in this world today, is to show off what you got. Another reason could just be what's comfortable for whatever it is that you're doing. Perhaps to impress certain people. And then also perhaps to make a statement. Many Christians have a decent knowledge of what it means to be what it means to dress modestly, and we might have some lines drawn up in our head, but I think a lot of us might be a little embarrassed about it. When we're thinking about what we're going to wear to school, we might go through our mental checklist. Okay, I got this covered, but I don't want to make it look too obvious. I don't want to be a walking billboard that says, "Hey, look at me! I'm some sort of Bible thumping Quaker." Or if we're going to work and we're choosing what we're going to wear to work, I want to cover this, but I don't want to stand out too much where people think I'm some sort of nun or Catholic priest. A Christian's thought process needs to be different. Clothing is perhaps one of the best ways to communicate something without even saying a word. It's become a huge way to express ourselves and to represent things. Many clothing companies have caught on to this, and so we got so many articles of clothing that have either phrases written on, but especially more popular clothing companies will have their own logo or company name written on their shirt or pants. And whether we like it or not, whether we signed up for it or not, people can tell a lot about us by the way that we dress. So as Christians, what should people first see about us? When they see us and look at us and what we're wearing, what should be the first thing that they think about? What should be going through their head should not be, "Oh, that's cute, cool, or sexy." It should not only be thinking about a brand or designer name that we like and show how fashionable we are. They shouldn't be thinking about Gap, American Eagle, Levi's, Air Apostle, Old Navy, or any clothing brand like that. But our goal should be when someone sees us and how we are dressed, that immediately they think Christian. This should be one of our main goals. So from the two texts that we looked at regarding modesty, these are things that God specifically addresses. This is something that He cares about. Okay, so what are we going to do? This is an important topic, yes. We know this is an issue that God cares about, but still the question remains, okay, how should we dress? Well, there are actually lines that God does draw in the Bible. There are parts of our body that God describes as being nakedness. And if should others see that, should that be exposed, it is shameful. I do want to make clear that what we're about to look at, and this is mostly from the Old Testament, however there is some passages we'll look at from the New Testament as well, that this is not these are not strictly the lines for modesty, but there is a slight difference. Remember how we define modesty as something that is appropriate, something that doesn't draw inappropriate attention upon ourselves. Certainly clothing, parts of our body that God considers to be private, that God considers to be shameful to expose to others, certainly fits within the parameters of modesty. But that's not where modesty ends. I think that's a good point that Brother Duane touched on this morning, where we need to be more considerate of how our clothing affects others. But still, there are lines that we can draw, and there are lines that are set. And so the first passage we'll look at will be in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, read verses 6 through 11, and then jump to verse 21. It reads, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he, as God, said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I have commanded you that you should not eat?" We'll go ahead and stop there. Now, if anyone says that modesty is the main point of this passage, I will be one of the first ones to say that's not true. But there are some principles here that are brought up. First off, as man and woman were created, they were created naked to begin with. And so as their eyes were opened, they ate of the forbidden fruit, they were ashamed of their nakedness, and they tried to clothe themselves with what is called an apron of fig leaves. Some quick definitions would be something like a belt, loincloths, loin coverings, basically the equivalent to what our undergarments are today. But was this appropriate clothing? Well, I find it interesting that even Adam recognized that this wasn't enough. When God asked him, "Where are you?" How does Adam respond? He says, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." This is after they sewed together these garments that covered their, what we would consider to be our private areas here in society today. Even after they had partially covered themselves, they were still naked. So what did God think about this homemade apron that they made? He confirmed what Adam said in verse 11. He says, "Who told you that you were naked?" And so then in verse 21, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them." Now this word here used for tunics or coats, is the brief definition, a coat generally with sleeves to the knees. But what perhaps is most important is the same word here is used to describe the priest's garments, to describe the priestly coat that they were to wear. And so that can help give us a little bit of an idea of how much more covered God caused them to be through these coats of skin. Now we're going to get to some definite lines here in Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28, verses 40 through 42. And this, is, of course, is as God is prescribing all, especially the priestly garments and the rules for worship and things like that. And as he's describing their garments, here starting in verse 40, he says, "For Aaron's sons, you shall make tunics, and you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty. So shall you put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests." And here, verse 42 is really what's key. "You shall make for them linen trousers or breeches to cover their nakedness." Now, what was their nakedness? What areas of their body did God consider to be their nakedness? "They shall reach from the waist to the thighs." So, these were undergarments that the priests were to wear to cover or to hide their nakedness. So, what lines were made here? We have the waist, which is the small of the back, you know, where most of us hitch our pants at. And it says, "unto the thighs." Now, what the key word here, "as long as," or "to the thighs," we're not talking something that goes to the waist, basically to the start of your thighs. The word here used for "to the thighs" is the Hebrew word "ad," which is A-D apostrophe. And it means to go as long as, equally with, and as much as. So, as we read this, we're seeing something that comes from the waist as long as, or equally with, the thigh. So essentially, we're talking something from the waist to the knee here, were these undergarments that God prescribed to cover nakedness. And so, and another passage that refers to the thigh as being an area which is private and should not be exposed is in Isaiah. Isaiah 47 is another passage that backs this up. Isaiah chapter 47, and this is when God's talking about the humiliation and destruction He's going to bring about in Babylon. It's used metaphorically, but still the point remains. Isaiah 47, verses 1 through 3. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground without a throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Remove your veil, take off the shirt, uncover the thighs, pass through the rivers. Your nakedness shall be uncovered. Yes, your shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not arbitrate with a man. So again, revealing the thigh, as talked about here, was exposing nakedness and causing shame to be upon these people. And so we pretty well have that defined, from the waist to the knee. Are areas that God considers to be our nakedness, something that we should not expose and is shameful if we do. Another passage in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 16 tells us another area in which God considers to be our nakedness and something that we should not reveal to anyone. Ezekiel 16, verses 7 through 8. It says, I made you thrive like a plant in the field. You grew and matured. You became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed. Your hair grew. But you were naked and bare. When I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. So here is described this, it's of course talking about Jerusalem. It's another metaphor that speaks about a nation, but the principle still remains. And God's describing how Jerusalem has matured and areas of the body have become fully developed, but she was still laid bare. And what was specifically mentioned was that her breasts were laid bare, and that was her nakedness, and that she was made naked because of that. So there's another area of our body that God considers to be our nakedness. Now, this isn't just something that applies to women. This word breast here is used interchangeably for both men and women. John chapter 13, verse 25 talks about how John leaned upon the breast of Jesus. We sing hymns all the time with a little older style of English that refer to the breast in both male and female tense. So, and really, breast is it's really the medical term for both male and female for our chest area. And so this isn't just something that speaks to women, but something that men ought to be considerate of as well. And so, still, where do these lines come? I mean, you know, what part of our area is considered our breast area? I use my wife's help a lot with trying to figure this out and trying to figure out what the medical or part of the physical anatomy that encompasses where this part of our body is. And what we found was that medically speaking, we have what are called lymph nodes, and lymph nodes are located just underneath the bottom of your collarbone. They travel along the top of your chest, and they go to the top corner of your underarm. And for male and female, what has been medically determined as part of the physical anatomy, the breast is located just underneath these lymph nodes here. So again, that's just one definition, and well, many other definitions back that up. But this is certainly something to be mindful of when we consider how we cover ourselves and what is appropriate to show and what is not. And I've also heard of basically getting two fingertips, pointing that from the bottom of your collarbone, And that really seems to jive pretty well with what the medical definition is for the location of our breast. And so beyond these lines, just beyond what we cover to our knees and to our breasts, we also need to be mindful that there are certain things that we do that may cause us to reveal ourselves. And this is something that God recognized. If you will please turn with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, read verses 24 through 26. And God's describing how they're going to build an altar. And he specifically mentioned this in verse 24. An altar of earth you shall make for me. You shall sacrifice on it your burnt offerings, your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. And if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. Verse 26 is the key. Nor shall you go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness may not be exposed to it. And so you see here, as God is describing how his altar is to be built, he specifically mentions that he doesn't want steps leading up to this altar, so that the priests, with their long coats, as they go up these steps, that these naked areas of their bodies would not be exposed. So there's something for us to think about there as well. How much effort do we go through to make sure that we are covered? When we sit down, when we run, how much of our legs are then left exposed? Something that may be entirely appropriate as we're standing up, looking at ourselves in the mirror, as we're getting ready to go out and do whatever, may not be appropriate as we go about our day-to-day lives. When we bend over, how much of our chest can people see? I know many here came from FC camp, and many people wear long basketball shorts, and, you know, as you're standing there, you can't say they're immodest. You know, many of them go below the knee. Everything seems to be good. But especially with a lot of the Bible studies, you usually have a ring of chairs. And, you know, I went to these camps for 3 or 4 years myself. And, you know, a lot of us aren't quite as mindful of how we cross our legs or how we sit down. These different actions that we do can cause ourselves to be exposed. It doesn't matter what that other person is thinking. It doesn't matter if someone's lusting after me or not. But really, it's part of our responsibility to make sure that these areas on our bodies are not left exposed and are not apparent for other people to see. I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here. A few years ago, I forget how old I was. I was probably somewhere between 12, 13, and 14. And my little sister, Eva, she was probably 10 or 11, I'm thinking. We were going to go out to worship services on Wednesday night. And she just got a pair of pants. I think they were given to her. And she was about to go out, and we were about to go to church. And my dad's like, "Hey, Eva, would you mind going in and changing?" She's like, okay. And all of us were kind of scratching our heads. Why? I mean, the pants, they weren't inappropriate. They weren't even tight or anything. And so she changed, and we're driving along to church. And any of you know Eva, she's just the sweetest thing. And, you know, she wasn't asking why, like, you know, why'd you make me change? She's like, you know, I'm just curious. You know, what was the reasoning? Why did you have me change? And Dad's like, "Well, Eva, those pair of pants, they had bright red embroidered butterflies and colorful images slapped on the back pockets of those pants. And I wouldn't feel right to let you walk around with basically a flashy billboard to cause everybody to look at your backside." I think there's something for us to think about as well. That's kind of where the light bulb went up for us. Like, wow, that actually does make a lot of sense. We need to consider these things beyond just what these minimum lines are that cover our nakedness. We need to consider what is appropriate, what will draw inappropriate attention to ourselves. So what about tight clothes? What is the purpose behind clothes? Especially as we looked at the purpose behind the priest's undergarments. They were to cover or to hide their nakedness. My brother Jacob, many years back when we were still living at home, he had this great analogy where he just said, like, would it be appropriate if I just got blue paint and just painted it all over my legs and I just wore the minimum amount of clothes that you can possibly wear? Would it be appropriate for me to walk around like that? And I think most of us would be like, yeah, no, just painting your legs blue, that doesn't cover anything. But really, when we think about certain clothes like skinny jeans, leggings, and other clothes, and really there's probably more material that would be left on by paint than those, they really don't hide, they don't cover those areas. But again, we need to have a mindset. We need to have a heart to present ourselves holy, as this is one of our goals. But if we don't have this mindset, if we don't have this heart, where we are determined to be holy, we are determined to dress modestly, then no matter what, if we can dot our I's and we can cross our T's, we can meet these exact lines just as we see it, I guarantee you, if our heart is not where it should be, we will find a way to bring inappropriate physical attention to ourselves. So this needs to be addressed from the heart. And as one of the last points, and something that we've touched on quite a bit, who all does this rule of modesty apply to? Well, obviously it applies to women. It's talked about with our first scripture that we read this evening, 1 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 10, and 1 Peter 3 talks about wives and women. But also, this is something that is specifically talked to for men as well. Genesis 3:21, the passage that we looked at in the Old Testament. Adam was indeed clothed after he was found naked. And then the priestly garments that we looked at, these priests were men. But yet, they still had the same areas on their body that God considered to be inappropriate to show to others. And then also in the New Testament, if you will turn with me to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, there's also Peter that is mentioned here. John 21, verse 7. Helps to be in the right book. Alright, so therefore, this is after Jesus tells them to cast your net on the other side, and Peter realizes that, about to realize that this is indeed Jesus. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. So isn't that interesting? As Peter is about to jump into the sea so he can get to Jesus, as he's about to go for a swim, he does the exact opposite of what pretty much everybody in society does today, as before we go to swim, we always just take off clothes. But Peter found it appropriate to put on clothes as he went to the shore. Now there are two different ways of thinking about this. The first way that I thought about this for a long time is, if you remember the situation here with Jesus' disciples. Jesus had just died. Everybody had kind of, you know, they're shell-shocked, yes. But they kind of revert back to their old way of life. And so, as Peter recognizes that this is Jesus, then it really contrasts our own way with God's way. The second way, yeah, we can think about this, and this was actually brought up by Brother Scott Smelser, and I'm thinking I'm considering it more heavily now. Was the fact that Peter was just around other men in the boat. They were away from any kind of public setting, and as he was going to go to the shore where there were people, then it was appropriate for him to be clothed. And so this same word used in verse 14, or in Mark 14, verse 51. It's used to describe somebody just wearing a little bit of clothes. This word naked. But whatever the situation is, Peter found it appropriate to clothe himself as he went to be around others, and so should we. Another passage, especially a passage that refers to men regarding this topic, is found in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 27, we have the demon-possessed man. And verse 27, it says, "When he stepped out of the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. He wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs." And if we remember how the story goes, Jesus is about to cast the demons out. The demons just beg him, like, "Look, don't send us back where we came. Let us go into these pigs." So he does that. The pigs go crazy, and they go and drown themselves. And then, with the aftermath of all of this, as this man is finally released from the hold of these demons, verse 35, as the people hear about this, they went out to see what had happened, and came to Jesus, and they found the man from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. It's interesting that being clothed and being in our right mind are so closely connected and linked with each other. Now, all this seems hard. It is. It's not easy as we consider what we're going to do, what we're about to wear for the rest of the day or the rest of the evening. It may not even be cheap. It's awful hard to find good, modest apparel these days that don't need to be altered or don't need to be modified in any way. But there are several things that we need to take away from this. We need to carefully consider what we've talked about and what we've gone over. And perhaps we need to make it part of our family's dialogue. It should be something that we should be talked about. It shouldn't be something where we should feel like we're treading on eggshells around each other. We should make it a family issue to check one another on these issues. Not as a way where we're pointing out how we're messing up or anything like that, but as a way where we're helping each other out. We're trying not to be a stumbling block, as we talked about this morning. And certainly we, as a spiritual family, really, it would be awesome if we can get to that point as well. The biggest point is that God truly cares about how we dress. The question we need to ask ourselves is, do we? So with all this talk about keeping our garments on and determining what ought to be covered, there is one spiritual garment that now I would suggest that we need to immediately remove. We're about to sing a song, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" Beginning of verse 3 talks about, in song number 307, it says, "Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb." Ultimately, it doesn't matter how hard we try to present ourselves to be pure and holy. It won't matter how much effort we go through, how many people we ask if what we're wearing is okay. But if we have not been sanctified through the blood of Christ through baptism first, we don't stand a chance. We can never present ourselves as being holy if we have not first been washed in the blood of Christ. So if there's anyone here who is not a Christian, you wish to make the commitment now to be cleansed, to be washed, be made pure, and have this relationship and to start this walk with God, then come forward. If there's anyone here who is already a Christian, but perhaps we've lost sight, perhaps we've stopped caring about how we present ourselves, how we live, and now's the time to make it right. Here presents an opportunity, whatever situation. I pray that you come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of God? the Lamb. Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow?
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white? Snow, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Are you washed
in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb are your garments? Spotless are they, white as snow. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Please be seated.